A critical management audit of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs is continuing to ripple. The office has no comment about a possible FBI probe. The OHA board is meeting in closed session this morning to talk about the employment contract of CEO Kamanao Crabb, though he won't be there. OHA told us Crabb is on leave until the end of the month, but wouldn't say why or how long he's been out. Some members have called for his removal, but that remains to be seen if the board has the 6 votes to fire him. Former Governor John Wahee sat down with us to talk about the audit and the latest turmoil at the agency. Wahee recently interviewed Crabb on Think Tech Hawaii, a local talk show.
For me, the first thing that came to mind is, what was the purpose of the audit? And I wasn't sure that the purpose of the audit was to make things better or to attack OHA, whether there was in fact a political agenda. And this particular audit is especially suspicious because of the fact that, first of all, the procedures and the like that were, evaluated, the establishment of which was really in the purview of OHA. I mean, this is not something that they didn't read the rules someplace. It was somebody coming in and said, well, Kamanao Crabb, you're the director, you're the procurement officer, but you should never, ever decide differently than your staff. Where's that? Where is that anywhere that the person that's at the top should always listen to the staff?
So your point is that if these are discretionary funds, it's at his discretion?
Well, the point is that they started off by using words like discretionary funds. But in fact, for example, the funds that they targeted had very little discretion in it. It came from the discretionary funds, meaning the name that was given funds that were put aside over the years to be used for various activities. But if you look at the audit, out of the $14 million, $10 million of it were funds taken from that pool to match funds that the legislature put up for state priority programs. In other words, the OHA was essentially required to match the monies.
And you made the point that some of these funds came from the trust fund and they weren't
right. That's
from the general fund.
That's the difference. Now, there are really, loosely speaking, 3 types of funds at OHA. One is funds that you receive as part of the ongoing relationship regarding seeded funds. The Office of Hawaiian Affairs is entitled to a pro-rata share of all the monies raised on seeded lands. So that is constitutionally required for them to have. In addition to that, you have monies that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs have that were given to them for back wrongs and payments, which are then put into a trust fund, hence the word discretionary. Because you can either leave it in there for investment purposes, or you can use it to cover ongoing activities. And the third level of funds, are funds that are given to OHA from the general fund to do certain types of projects. Now, when the legislature does that, they usually require a matching share. And $10 million of these funds that were the subject of this audit actually were funds that had to be matched against state action. For example, one of the immersion school programs, the legislature would give so much money and say, okay, OHA, you do the rest. The Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation, legislature would give so much money and then say, okay, this is you need to pass it on to the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation. Now, that is not something that just happened last year and then they made an audit. That's something that's been going on for 20 years.
Right. You had mentioned that you thought that possibly there were political motives behind the audit. We had the state auditor, Les Kondo, here in our studios, and he defended that audit. You know, he raised the point that, you know, there were, regardless of which pot of money, you know, we were looking at, that there were certain protocols that and that perhaps they weren't met.
Yeah, I don't think Les Kono was the is part of a political conspiracy. I think that you know, and we didn't get into this during my interview, but I think that there are political problems between the administrator, the executive Kamanao, and the trustees. And I think that some of these trustees are, and so the audit has gotten an importance that it wouldn't otherwise have.
But there's also reports about, you know, this audit getting the attention of the FBI. And so we're not sure, you know, what they might be looking for,
yeah,
fishing for something.
And how does that get to be as important as it now is? I mean, the FBI, the legislature, and the way they handle things over the years have regularly got the attention of the FBI. The administration has. And I think that sometimes in this day and age, you know, people concede that too easily. I mean, the real issue for me is, what's the probable cause?
Right. Is there wrongdoing?
Is there wrongdoing? In the entire audit that Kono did, there really wasn't wrongdoing. It was like wrong thinking or wrong in his opinion.
Well,
but the whole reason for doing OHA was to have beneficiaries decide what is a priority.
Well, my understanding is that OHA is putting the brakes on I think the discretionary funds, to see if there shouldn't be another layer of checks and balances, just, you know, for best practices, you know,
well,
are we doing what we
I
need
think,
to do, regardless of whose money it is?
Best practices is one thing. Okay. But what's best practices for a cultural institution may be different than best practice for something that's not based on a cultural objective.
Right, and you were involved in the creation of OHA
right.
Several decades ago, and you obviously believe that there is a difference there.
Yeah, I do, because I wanted to make the point. Now, I want to make really clear that I'm not defending any particular action, but I am defending the idea that that somebody else's judgment, that we may think that somebody else's judgment ought to be submitted for people who represent the beneficiary. One area which is especially irritating, I think, is the idea of trustee allowances. You know, each trustee gets $22,000, and that's something that, you know, the public ought to know about and so forth. I have no problem with that. But it's curious. It's curious to me that what wasn't pointed out was the fact that every legislator gets the same $22,000, that every council person, at least on Oahu, gets the same money. So if we are going to do a management audit on that issue, then just the equality alone screams that you ought to look at everybody.
Well, does that auditor's office, though, have the authority to look at legislators' discretionary funds? Because I know in some jurisdictions it's limited.
Well, the legislature always has conveniently made sure that everybody else gets looked at, but their practices don't. In fact, I hate to say this, but I have been told that one reason why Les is on the is the state auditor now is that the legislature was very unhappy with the way he was looking at their ethics.
Right, when he was
and
with
so,
the ethics
and
commission.
So they moved him over, so now he looks at everybody else's stuff. That still doesn't excuse the fact that if you're going to say something, then let's all be honest about it. Now, having said that, and I, by the way, I have suggested And I understand some people in the media have already made some information requests for the information on, you know. So the media may have to take the responsibility of seeing what these expenditures are for and how it's being handled. Now, the justification for going up to $22,000 was the idea that mail was expensive. And it takes that much money to communicate, which, you know, this is fine.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is each body, including OHA, sort of was responsible for developing their own procedures. So why not look at what these other people spent their money for? Now, having said that, okay, so I'm in total agreement. We ought to look at that. We ought to see it. But we ought to look at everybody. So if you're going to talk about best practices, then let's look at best practices everywhere. We're going to invite the FBI in. Let's invite them in for everybody.
Okay. And then
but here's the thing, though. What is interesting to me is one of the things that was complained about was the fact that a trustee paid for a beneficiary's medical bills. And was that the purpose of this money? Yeah. In my opinion, I don't know. None of the funds, at least that I could identify, and I have to confess, I didn't read the audit, you know, in any great detail, but none of the funds were used for things that would not be considered beneficiary-related or job-related.
Well, how do you think the voters will look at this? Because it's not just Hawaiians that can vote for OHA trustees.
Well, I think that's the real question. Why was this audit done at the time it was done in a way that may affect an election? And then to hear one of my colleagues who normally, you know, we don't necessarily agree, but we do, you know, often enough, you know, to say that, wow, you know, this audit means that we ought to change the way trustees are elected or abolish OHA. As a person who is interested in Hawaiian affairs, I cannot help but suspect that the real objective of the audit was to affect elections or maybe to affect the long-range viability of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs.
So the person, the colleague that you were talking about, former Ben
Coyetano. Ben. Mm-hmm. Ben. I don't know if he actually said it. So
right.
Somebody told me he said that. But if he did, you know, once again, Ben, you're mistaken.
Well, there have been other calls by some trustees to for folks to step down, including the CEO, Kamanao Crabb, and that the board is taking that up. But it remains to be seen. Did he do anything? Was there cause? Is there cause to remove him? If not, I mean, I don't know where the legal counsel was for OHA through some of these.
Yeah,
things.
You know, this is not a way. I'm more interested in the viability of the institution than in any particular member, okay? Having said that, there may be good reason why the trust, why the CEO ought to be up for a review. I mean, you know, and really that is one of the primary functions of being a trustee, is to hire someone that you feel comfortable with carrying out the mission that you see OHA doing. So on that issue, I don't have any problem. It's really up to them. Now, do I wish that they could conduct themselves in a much more acceptable manner? Of course. But I have to say this, that at least one trustee on the board of OHA got elected, and prior to being elected, his agenda was to destroy the agency. I mean, Kealii Akina has never hidden that fact, that he doesn't believe that what he calls a race-based agency ought to exist.
Right, and as someone who helped create that agency, you think he's wrong?
Well, absolutely.
Off base on that.
And because for one thing, I don't even think it's race-based. I think that it is a political issue, and that the things that the rights that Hawaiians have would not have been given us, we could not have become a state without agreeing to do those things.
That was former Governor John Wahee talking about the turmoil at OHA. Wahee was the state's first Native Hawaiian governor. The management audit of OHA is required every 4 years. Trustees Kealii Akana and Rowena Akana are who are outspoken critics of the CEO, have led the charge on a separate financial audit, which is currently underway.